for what he's done for us. Appreciate very much Brother Brittenham's words. We have three Brother Brittenhams who are members of this congregation, so I'm specifically speaking about Brother Brittenham the wise. If you were in the auditorium class, you would understand that. But appreciate his comments in guiding us to appreciate and praise God and thank God for the sacrifice that he made for us. It is incredible to think about that sacrifice and what it means to us, but might I suggest to you that were it not for another gift that God gave us, the gift of his Son would not mean anything to us at all. And I think sometimes perhaps we don't think about this other gift, or we don't appreciate this other gift like perhaps we should. If God had not given us his word, we wouldn't know that his Son was crucified sometime around 30 AD. We wouldn't have known why it happened. And we would have had no idea what it meant. Because we can't know the mind of God unless he reveals his mind to us. We can't know what God is thinking. We can't know what God wants. We can't know what God likes unless he tells us, and he's done that. And it is an amazing story to study, to contemplate, to think about how God, in his providence, has preserved his word intact for us. Think about all the incredible changes that have happened in the world over just the past 2,000 years, thinking about the New Testament. And yet we have in our hands an accurate and a reliable depiction of what God wants us to know and what God wants us to understand. In my life, I have no memory at all of ever being in a home that I was part of where the Bible was not revered and honored. I've told the brethren here before, of course, both of my parents were Christians, but all four of my grandparents were also Christians. And I can remember spending time, especially with my mother's mother, in their home, on their farm. And before we would go to bed at night, she would pull out her Bible, and it was undoubtedly her most treasured physical possession was her Bible, and reading stories to her grandchildren before she put us to bed. I've told you about my father before, who was born and raised just a couple of counties over from here in Monroe County in Kettle Creek. My father was one of 17 children, 13 of whom survived to adulthood. And all 13 of those children, my grandparents were Christians, all 13 of those children were Christians. They didn't all stay faithful to God throughout their adult lives, but they were all Christians. They all obeyed the gospel. One of them is still living. My Aunt Nina lives in a little community in Cumberland County called Judeo, which doesn't mean anything to hardly anybody in here, I know, but there is a church in Judeo that's been there for a long, long time. My aunt has been crippled with rheumatoid. It's my Aunt Nina. She's still living, 87 years old. She has been crippled for much of her adult life with very severe rheumatoid arthritis, which makes it extremely difficult for her to get out and do anything. But when the brethren at Judeo meet on Sunday afternoon, which they still do, if she is absolutely capable or able in any way, she is there. My mother was one of six children. She had two brothers and three sisters. All of them were Christians early in their lives, except for one. Her youngest brother, who's still living, just turned 81 years old. He lives in a little town called Linden, Indiana, just south of Lafayette, Indiana. All the others had obeyed the gospel when they were young, but for some reason he didn't. And so when he called in March of 1980, just down through the years, we had always carried on conversations about God and about Christ and about the Bible. He called just out of the blue one day in March of 2020. And remember, you remember the significance of March 2020? You remember what happened about the middle of March 2020? But he called and he said, I want to obey the gospel. And I was so thrilled. And then he said, I want you to baptize me. And I'm thinking, well, I can be there in 4 hours. Really, it should be five, but I could be there in four hours. And so I drove to Linden, got in touch with some brethren in Lafayette, and took my uncle to the church building there and baptized him into Christ. It was just so incredibly thrilling. The next week after I had gone up there and done that, the world shut down. You remember that. And so I've always been a part of homes where God's word is honored. And that's what I want us to think about for just a few minutes in the lesson this morning. I ask that Mason read the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We are thoroughly familiar with and acquainted with that passage, where the Israelites are instructed to remember God and to talk about God and to talk about God's word and to do it with their children. To do it when they get up in the morning, to do it when they sit down at the middle of the day for a meal, to do it when they lay down at night. Every day to talk about and to think about God's word. Responsibilities that God gives to fathers in the New Testament. Remember that Paul said, fathers, bring your children up in the discipline and instruction. That's the ESV, nurture and admonition of the Lord, the Old King James translation. The responsibility of raising our children and teaching them or bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is the discipline of the Lord? What is the instruction of the Lord? It's the teaching in God's word. What Paul is telling fathers is, you make sure that your children are familiar with and know and understand God's word. Talk to them about the Bible. Talk to them about God's word. And then I love, of course, what the Apostle Paul says about Timothy and his family situation. Timothy was converted by Paul on what we would call the second missionary journey, a young man who on the third missionary journey, Paul will pick up on his way to the coast, to Troas, and eventually crossing the Aegean Sea and going into Europe to spread the gospel. Timothy will be with him as a young man. But look at the things that Paul tells us about Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul says, I know this about you, how that from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus or in Christ Jesus. From childhood, you are familiar with the sacred writings. And how did that happen? Well, they sent him to a good religious school, right? Or they attached him to a rabbi somewhere or another along the way. No, that's not it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And then he'll write to the Philippians. The Apostle Paul will write to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. What made that possible? What made Timothy such a useful tool for serving other people? Well, he studied the Bible with his grandmother. He studied the Bible with his mother. God's word, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so what I'm telling you this morning is I was very blessed, and I understand that. Believe me, I do. I understand that and know what a blessing it was that I was, from the very beginning, I was brought up in a home. I have always been part of homes. I've always been a member of a home where God's word was honored. God's word was revered. God's word was respected. I can't find it. I've been looking for it for a while, but I can remember, maybe not the very first Bible I ever owned. I suspect that the very first Bible I ever owned was one of those little Gideon Bibles. And I still see those around in the congregation from time to time. But the first Bible that I can remember owning, and my mother charging me with the responsibility that you've got to take care of this, that this is not a children's storybook. It's not a textbook. This is God's Word. It was a little black leather King James red letter Bible with a zipper case. I thought that was so cool. And the tab you pulled the zipper with was a little cross. And I carried that Bible every time the doors opened at the church building and we were there. I had my Bible with me. I remember a time or two when we had started for the church building and I had forgotten my Bible and we turned around and went back to the house. And God, we weren't going to the building without our Bible. I carried it for a long time. I was a teenager, probably 15 or 16 years old before I decided that I need to put away childish things. That zipper was cool when I was a little kid. I didn't think it was so cool when I was 16 years old. So I went to the bookstore and bought another King James Bible, but I rebelled this time. It was brown leather. But I kept that little black zippered Bible for years and years and years, and somewhere in all the moves that we've made, I suppose, down through the years, it's gotten misplaced, and I can't find it now. I would love to see it again. I have my mother's Bible that she used for many years before she passed away. I have my grandmother's, her mother's Bible that she used for years, so many years before she passed away. I know I've been blessed. I know I have been extremely blessed. But I also understand that some of you did not have that blessing. That I know there are some in the audience who were not raised in homes where God's Word was honored. Please understand that that's okay. Thank God that you have come to know God's Word. That God's Word has become an important part of your lives. And don't feel as though because you didn't have the same kind of background that I had that you've lost something and that you're missing something. That's not the point of this lesson at all. The point of this lesson is no matter how you were raised, maybe you were raised in a home where God's Word was ridiculed. Perhaps you were raised in a home where God's Word was rejected. Maybe you were raised in a home where you never saw a copy of the Bible at all. But what about your home now? What about your home? Even if you didn't come from the same kind of background from which I came, I hope that your home is a home where God's Word is honored. And you can make that happen. That's your responsibility. Whether your mother felt the same way about God's Word that my mother did, whether your grandparents felt the same way about God's Word that my grandparents did, it doesn't matter. You can make your home a home where God's Word is honored. So I want to say three things, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing is this. Homes where God's Word is honored are homes where the Bible is read and discussed daily. We've talked about this before. I think daily Bible reading is important. But I will suggest to you, and it has been suggested to me, that just reading God's Word every day might not be enough. Probably isn't enough. It needs to be meditated on. It needs to be discussed. It needs to be explained. It needs to be thought about. The Jews, these aren't Christians, but the Jews in Thessalonica were rejecting God's Word. But in verse 11 about the Jews in Berea, Luke will say this, or Paul will say this, now these Jews were more noble, Luke says this, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures three times a week, 9:30 on Sunday morning, 5 o'clock on Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. What does he say? Examining the scriptures daily. To see whether these things were so. Examining the scripture. Now, again, they were Jews, and I think scriptures undoubtedly in this context are the Old Testament scriptures, but I think the principle is sound. That Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 principle. That you need to be talking about God's Word every day. You need to be reading God's Word. It needs to be on your heart. Talk about the Scriptures, the commandments, diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Chapter 11, Moses will come back to this. In verse 20, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. Make your home a home where the Bible is read and discussed daily. It is the most important thing you can do for your children. Isn't it exciting that we have all these new babies being born? And I know it's especially if it's parents' first child. I remember the things that go through your mind. You think about what I want for them and what I hope for them and what I want to give them. The most important thing that you will give them is from the day you bring them home from the hospital, maybe even sooner than that. But certainly early, very early on, introducing them to God's Word. Reading God's Word to them. Telling them the stories. Make sure they know and understand and appreciate how much God's Word means to you. Make the home that you bring them to a home where God's Word is read and discussed daily. Where God's Word is honored. Number two, homes where God's Word is honored are homes where the Bible is held in high esteem. The story I'm about to tell you is an extreme example. I'm not suggesting this. But in the late 1800s, there was a gospel preacher and a farmer. Most gospel preachers back then were farmers or supported themselves in some other way. And I cannot remember for the life of me standing here right now, I cannot remember his first name, but I know his last name. His last name was Andrews. And the Andrews family had 10 children. They had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they had 1 Bible in that whole household. That would not have been uncommon in the 1890s, 1880s, 1890s, would it? The Bible is so accessible to us today. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why we have a propensity for taking the Bible for granted. But they had 1 Bible, and it is the Bible out of which Brother Andrews would read to the family. It is the Bible out of which he would preach. And that Bible had a place of honor in the little home where they lived in North Alabama. And there were rules about that Bible. I mean, I'm talking about the book, the actual book itself. And the rules were this. That the children had better not damage or mistreat that book. This is God's Word. And one of his sons, I heard tell this story with my own ears. That he came in from somewhere, who knows where, but he came in from somewhere to the house and he had things that he'd gotten outside or whatever, and he brought them in and he laid them down on top of the Bible. And then he went on in vivid detail to describe, I think he called it a whoopin' that he got. For what? For what? He laid things on top of the Bible. Now, I'm telling you that's an extreme illustration. But I also want to tell you this. 7 boys, all 7 of them became gospel preachers. And one of them, many of us know from our association with Florida College, Paul Andrews was one of those 7 boys. 3 daughters, all of whom married men who became gospel preachers. And I've wondered down through the years after hearing Brother Paul tell that story so many years ago. I've wondered about the influence that his mother and father had. By the way, there's a granddaughter of one of those Andrews who's a member at Lost River. Judy Holloway is an Andrews. Many of you know Judy, I know. Her father is one of those 7 boys. We've talked about that a lot. But I've wondered down through the years. Again, I'm not suggesting, beat your children if they lay, or if they set a cup of, milk or something on top of the Bible. But I am saying they were serious about teaching their children to respect God's Word. This book is different. It's not a child's storybook. It's not a textbook. It's nothing like that. This is God's Word. Hold God's Word in esteem. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says about this incredible group of Christians in Thessalonica. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. Thank God, Paul says, that you accepted God's Word as something different. And then what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent or complete or perfect, equipped for every good work. Homes where God's Word is honored are homes where the Bible is held in high esteem. You can make that your home. You can make sure that your children and your grandchildren know that God's Word is different. God's Word is unique. There's nothing like it in all the world. And third and finally, homes where God's Word is honored are homes where what the Bible teaches is taken seriously. It's not just that we esteem this book. It's not just that we esteem a leather-bound book with a zippered cover. It's not just that we esteem this book because in it we have recorded genealogies going back perhaps a number of generations, weddings and funerals. We esteem this book because of what it contains. It contains the Word of God. And there's nothing more important than that. Do our children know that? Do they know that we believe with all of our hearts that it is more important that you read and study and then learn and apply God's Word than it is that you get knowledge of mathematics or knowledge of grammar or knowledge of science or knowledge of English literature? And I'm not saying that those things don't have some value or that those things aren't important, but priority-wise, those things are nothing compared to what's in God's Word. And if your children never learned to conjugate a verb, something I'm still struggling with from time to time, and if your children never learn the intricacies of mathematics or science, if they never learn to appreciate great literature or great music, but they know God because they've read His Word and they respect His Word, they hold it in high esteem, and they live it. And they live it. They will be a success. I've said this, had a couple of opportunities in my life to speak to high school graduating classes. And I told both of those groups, and then had the opportunity on a few occasions to speak to smaller groups of graduates. Sometimes I say this in sermons. Usually what I used to preach is, you're 18, you're getting out of high school, or you're 22 and you're getting out of college. And one of these days down the road, I hope our paths cross again. I don't have that many more paths to travel. But also I will say the same thing again. If I meet you down the road and you are making lots of money, and you have bought an incredibly nice house and you have married well, and you just have all the trappings of success, but if I find out that you have abandoned God, my assessment of you will be that your life has been a failure. If you and I meet down the road after you finish school, and maybe you're struggling to get by, but you're providing for your family, but you love God and you're serving God and you are a blessing to a local church somewhere, and you're trying to teach your children to love God, in my eyes, you will have been a success. You will have conquered life. And that's the only criteria by which I will make that determination. I might be impressed with your job. I might be impressed with your salary. I might especially be impressed with what you're driving. But if you've turned your back on God, you will have failed. And so we need to be teaching our children not just to hold the Bible in esteem. We need to be teaching them to live it. To take the things that are contained in it seriously. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We already quoted 2 Timothy 3:15, the sacred writings which Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:33 in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And of course, Peter's warning in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, that whoever speaks, be as one who speaks the oracles of God. So again, you may not have the same blessing that I had. I do consider it to be a blessing, the great blessing of my life, that I was raised by parents who esteemed God's word. And we talked about God's word. That I was raised by grandparents or influenced by grandparents who loved God's word and were concerned about the souls of their grandchildren. If that's not the case with your background, if that's not the case, if that's not how you were brought up, that's okay. You are here now and you're overseeing a home. You can have a home where God's word is honored. And that's my prayer for all of them. I pray this when every time I hear, here's another young, godly, wonderful young couple that's gotten engaged. May they make a home where God's word is honored and esteemed and put first. I always pray that. And I've been praying a lot this year when these new little ones come into the world. I thank God that they're being brought into homes where they're going to be taught to love God's word. What an incredible blessing that is. And I promise you this, I will try as hard as I can to help you parents to do that. I'm trying, I don't know how successfully. It is tempting to be not as strict with your grandchildren, maybe as you were with your children, but I try. But I really want, and Susan really wanted, more than anything, to try to help Gary and John and David and Katie and Elizabeth and Anna, to help our boys and their wives make homes where God's word is honored. And I hope you're in a home. I hope you're making your home a home where God's word is honored. God's word that teaches us what we need to do to become Christians. God's word that teaches us what to do and what we need to do, what changes we need to make when we stumble, when we sin, when we fall away. If you're familiar with that, you know what you need to do to obey the gospel in accordance with God's word, or come back into a right relationship with God in accordance with God's word, we stand ready now. It would be an incredible privilege for us to be able to apply the teachings of God's word to help make you a Christian, or to bring you back into a right relationship with God. If there's anything we can do to help or assist you in responding to the invitation, please come down to one of these front seats right now while we stand and while we sing. Oh,